Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. My colleague, Arianna Pelosi, spoke with Dr. Robert Nguyen, director of the VCU Massey Comprehensive Cancer Center, about efforts to improve health equity in cancer care. He discussed initiatives, including reimbursement policies from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, that may improve access to cancer care. Additionally, he detailed how tools such as the AACR Cancer Disparities Progress Report may spread education of barriers that impede progress towards health equity.
All right, so just to start off, can you broadly discuss what health equity means or even looks like in the oncology space?
Yeah, I think that this is an important conversation about what equity looks like. So let me start off. Equity is more of a principle that when all obstacles are actually removed, people get the same kind of care at the same time, in the same manner, and actually hopefully even potentially the same outcome. I say that because when people talk about equity, that is something that we're striving for. But what exists currently are disparities. And a quick example, a disparity is someone who has multiple myeloma. We know that African-Americans tend to do less well. It turns out that work that's been done in Wisconsin and other places has shown that when you have the same access to care, when the barriers are removed, right, the social part, the structural parts are removed, right, you can actually obtain that. So what happens is African-Americans right now will have a different outcome than, say, their white counterparts. And in fact, we call that a disparity because it's not something that may inherently be an issue of their biology in the context that African-Americans are just, quote, going to have worse outcomes with multiple myeloma. Disparity accounts for the fact that whatever that biology is, that there is additional forces and obstructions of being able to get the care. So when we talk about equity, equity is much more of a principle, having an even playing field and et cetera, et cetera. But that actually, as we know, the unfortunate reality is not absolutely true everywhere.
So looking at 2024, how can you see this year impacting and changing health equity for patients with cancer?
Well, I think that there are several things on the horizon that may actually be game changers for improving and moving towards equity. I think, for example, the fact that at some point we allowed Medicaid to pay for clinical trials. I think that this new ruling by the CMS to allow for the reimbursements of navigation, i.e. getting people to navigate you from point A to point B, will actually also aid and assist us in getting towards a more equitable society in the context of oncology. Having said that, there's still work to do. I mean, we'll always talk about when new drugs come out, there is usually a sort of not intentional, but a divide. For example, when immunotherapy came out, we wrote about this in the New York Times and everywhere else about the immunotherapy divide. New therapies, new technologies, new screening mechanisms usually don't tend to reach all communities equitably. That's still a struggle. But having said that, we are making some good progress towards, we need to make more progress in the area of biomarker testing, for example, in lung cancer and all these other things. But with the reimbursements of the CMS, with Medicaid paying for clinical trials and many other things that we could talk about, we are actually moving towards, as I would say, trending towards the health equity sort of goal. We're not there yet.
So what should be the biggest focus for underserved populations to achieve equity?
I would say that it's not so much that the areas of persistent poverty, rural areas, or areas where there are high populations of minorities are just because of their biology and whatever is a major factor. I think it's the structures. So when people say, well, what can be done? How do we make care more accessible? How do we make the quality of that care standard so that whether you have $1.5 million in your account or $1 in your account, that you're getting equitable care? That's a challenge because it takes resources. So when people ask that question, I sort of say, I don't know that we'll ever achieve a definitive equity, but we can certainly do better. We can certainly work with, for example, federally qualified health centers in a different way than we are now in 24, in making sure that screening and maybe follow-up care and maybe survivorship and that those types of deals are embedded more in those federally qualified health centers or community health centers. to be able to deliver that care. I think we could actually do better by working with our community hospitals. This is what the ACCC and others are trying to do, where you have your academic centers, the community health centers working together in partnership. So if you were to ask me what would be the one magic thing, it would be that we would actually adopt a concept of one team, one fight nationally, and that we would be able to have our structures and our, you know, and our coordination of care, if you will, better than we have it, more organized than we have it now.
Great. So I guess kind of branching off the one team, one structure, how do you hope to educate your colleagues on this issue?
Well, I think that the education part of this is really pretty exciting for us. I hope that the AACR Health Disparities Report is just one tool to sort of not only get my colleagues, but to get people within a community and get those people who actually are in charge of our resources a little bit more up to speed and aware. This report, I think, has on its own been substantiated. I was part of the first one in 2020, part of the second one in 2022, and I'm really super happy to be part of this one as well in leading the charge of the 2024 report. So that's one element that we hope will be able to help educate people and bring awareness. And I think the other one is just good old-fashioned having our professional bodies, whether they're AACR or AACI or American Cancer Society, ASCO, whatever, all working on one accord, and that is to bring to the attention that cancer is not like it used to be in the 1950s. It is not necessarily a death sentence if you can get to the right place, get the right care at the right time.
So looking at your institution specifically, is there anything that you are focusing on to kind of break the mold and maybe other institutions can follow suit in the future?
Yeah, we've philosophically flipped the script. There has always been in cancer this focus on creating a molecule that becomes a medicine, and then we stop. We've decided that, you know, once it becomes a medicine, it gets into a trials, and how do we get people from diverse backgrounds, as we mentioned before? Rural communities, areas of persistent poverty, minority communities, how do we get them onto our trials? We've tackled that by sort of saying that in addition to focusing in on the basic discovery scientists, that is the molecules becoming medicine, we have at Massey unapologetically really focused on the back half of that. And that is, how do these tools, technologies get disseminated and diffused across communities so it results in impact? I think that we have been a very proud and unapologetic comprehensive cancer center now that really says that it starts with having a community focus and then having our research support and benefit those efforts to really have a broader impact that everyone can benefit from the science that we generate from our centers in a more equitable manner.
Great. And is there anything else that you wanted to add today that we didn't touch upon?
I think that the other thing about awareness is we at Massey have taken it to the street, so to speak. There's something called the Facts and Faith Friday. We've been doing it ever since the COVID, started back in 2020. I think we started in May or something like that. But it's a constant, ongoing, continuous conversation with our faith-based leaders who have the trust of their communities and are able to sort of, you know, dispel many of the myths, but also encourage and inspire people to really go out and be at least mindful and open to the fact of the power that medicine has in the ability to be able to help cure cancer and help healing. So I think that show has been going on weekly, and we've been very happy with the results. And in fact, we've built up, I think, not only a lot of trust, but by not sitting on our heels and waiting for the community to come to us, but by going out to the community and talking about the importance of screening, talking about the importance of finding a new drug and what that means, talking about these new technologies, we've actually gotten a very, I think, robust group of community members that are actually by our sides and actually making other people aware out in the community. And that has resulted in, I think, very positive outcomes for us.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.